Yeah.
Out to our CDRA meeting, March 8th, 6 p.m. regular session. We'll start with a roll call.
Liz.
Here.
Paul.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Paul.
Here.
And Sam.
Here. Okay, next is approval of minutes of the February 8th, 2022 regular CDRA meeting held at 6 p.m.
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes of the February 8th.
Yep.
CDRA meeting.
I'll second it.
Okay, got motion by Paul, seconded by Lynn to approve the minutes of the regular CDRA meeting held February 8th, at 6 p.m. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is the February 22nd, special CDRA meeting held at 4:30 p.m.
I'll motion that February 22nd minutes will be okay.
Approved.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, you got the motion by Lynn, seconded by Rondi to approve the February 22nd special CDRA meeting held at 4:30. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is approval of claims. Invoice register dated 2-3 of 22 to 3-4 of 22 in the amount of $1,162. Should be on the
very last page.
Right here.
Yeah, I didn't get any of it.
Didn't get any of the CDI?
I didn't get any CDR stuff.
There's two packets.
I know. I didn't have anything here.
You can use Russ's. He's not here.
Okay.
Yes,
sir. I'll make a motion to approve invoice register dated 2-3-2022 to 3-4-2022. Amount of $1,162.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, got a motion by Sam, seconded by Rondi to approve invoice register dated 2-3 of 22. To 3-4 of 22 in the dollar amount of $1,162. Roll call.
Lynn.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Rondi.
Yes.
Okay, executive director report.
You recall that we became a Main Street community, as we've mentioned many times, in 1994. And about 15 years ago, Utah pulled out of the system. It comes under the National Trust for Historic Preservation. And careful, Jeannie. And the National Main Street Center. And it's been active for about 15 years. We maintained an individual membership. And then Darren Owen sponsored a bill, as I've mentioned in previous meetings, to bring the program back. What you have in front of you is a latest email on February 18th that I responded to Nan, because she had sent out to me at 1:21 that day relative to the Tier 2 community. You see Brigham City, Cedar City, Helper, Mount Pleasant, Ogden, Price, and Tooele, and you'll see that we have $30,000 for facade work on other projects on Main Street. The second page of this packet, I handed out before, but this is another package of funding, and this was for $109,000. And so I gave this one to you the last meeting, but we have $139,000. $109,000 is coming through Utah Division of State History for the Hicks Building, the Ivory Building, and the Marriott Building. We discussed those last meetings, you might recall. I did put that there as a reminder. The third page, as you notice, that on Thursday, April 15th, the Vice President of the Main Street America program is going to visit all of the Tier 2 communities. We're one of those. And they want to meet with the Main Street Committee. We have 10 members on that committee, but they'd like to also meet sometime that day, if possible, with this board, if that's a possibility. And we could probably work it around so we could do an evening. So just think about that and see if that's possible. They recommend we block out about 4 to 5 hours, and that will be on April 15th. Questions on that?
Well, I'm just curious on that. Second page of where we're talking. Who does the, where it says minimum match requirements, is that the owners?
Yeah, that's
the people that are getting the grants after that.
That is correct. Yeah. The, what you see there is, for example, you'll see where the grant amount for the Hicks Building, that's the Ocasio Cafe Building,
yeah,
is they have to match $12,500.
That's why I just wanted to
They have to commit that.
They have to commit that. Okay.
Yeah, of course, the Ivory Building we talked about, you know what that's
yeah.
The moment.
Yeah,
that's what that is.
So do you need a commitment on a time or anything right now, Mon?
Just start thinking about it and what might work for you. Tomorrow, April 15th, that'd be helpful.
It's a Thursday.
I can email them and tell them that you want to do it like maybe 5, you know, whatever you come up with will be fine. We'll work around here. The Main Street Committee can meet with them like at 8 o'clock in the morning that day. But that might not be good for the governing body. So we'll have to see.
Do we want to hurry and discuss that real quick? Give us time?
Yeah. Evening would work better for me, but I'll push on a Thursday. But.
Could we do a 6?
If they want 4 to 5 hours?
Well, not for you.
Oh,
that's
okay.
The whole day.
Okay.
So I don't think they'd take more than half hour to 45 minutes of your time. Okay. They just want to introduce you to the program and how the community can benefit and get some feel. The main purpose of it is to see if the elected officials are committed to the program. And we've been around on it since 1994. So I think they just want to meet you and ask if you have any questions.
Well, I just wonder if we could do it like 5 earlier. So
5 would be good for me. I've got commitments later.
That way maybe we can keep them here later at night too, you know.
Yeah. Will that work for you, Roddy?
That works for me.
Okay, I will email her and tell the governing body we'll meet with them at 5 o'clock. Again, that's income tax day.
Yeah.
Extension day.
Extension day. Okay, now this one is a different situation. This is, this is right down the alley that Mike and I have been talking about. Relative, there's a economic, I'm the vice chair of this Santee County Economic Board for, this is a special economic board that had to be formed. I'm on there, and Kevin Christian's the chair, I'm the vice chair, and then we have 3 other members. And this committee has to meet to decide how to spend special grant money coming to the states. Coming from the state to local areas. I've discussed this before, but just take a quick look at it. You'll see the Diacor, located on lot number 17 in the industrial park, has got a proposal set that they'll have total project costs of $424,000. That will be for the building that they, 75,000 square foot building and so forth. You see that in the project description, okay? And the grant amount they're going to get is $45,833. And so their match is $378,000. Now, they have got some of the stuff started. We've asked them to have a completion date of June 1, but Kevin sent out an email and says, that's not realistic, we can carry into September. Okay, so that's Diocor is the first one. This, the second one you'll see there, after Diocor. Second page. This one is Wright, this is the Wright shed, we've talked about this many times. This is lot 7 of the industrial park, and they propose to build a 40 by 100 foot building on their lot, $160,000 total cost, and they're going to get $25,000 for that project. On the third page, you have Watt Concrete Construction. He's proposing to build a 60 by 80 foot steel shop on lot 18 in the industrial park for a total project cost of $166,779. He's going to get a grant of $20,000. Now, there's other money coming down, and Mike and I have talked about the fact that rather than having letters, you've been doing a great job. I've been really tied up the last month, really, and he's stepped in and doing a great job trying to identify lots that we can buy back. And we on the first, the three people on the list, the first one was Vern, and Vern now is going to get the Kendall lot. The next one is Mason Mayo, you've met Mason. He's next, he's looking for an acre lot, at least. He'd like more, he's looking for an acre. And then the third person is Garrett. And those are the three people that are on the waiting list. And what Mike and I talked about is rather than having a threatening letter go out, we'd meet one-on-one with the folks. You've met several of them, get these lots back. We have a good chance of getting several back so that the Mayos can get a lot and also Garrett, okay? So, and then we'll also try to get them some money like we did with these to help construct their buildings. I think that's what you and I decided on. Mm-hmm. Well, no threatening letters, soft approach, and I've met with three lot owners. I got one possibility of coming back, and you've met with about three or four of them?
Yeah, three.
Okay, we need to accommodate, again, in order, it's Mason and then Garrett. Okay. That's what it is.
How long do they usually have on their grants, Mont?
Pardon me?
How long do they usually give them on their grants?
We're asking this one on the first batch. It's pushing really hard. Start in June. The other people could pick up on these. We've got some people on the waiting list. They told that once they start, they'll have a building up within 30 days. Now, I can tell you the case of Watts, for example. I don't know how accurate this is. I take it at face value. If somebody tells me something, I assume it's the truth. I'm pretty naive on that kind of stuff. But Watts says he would have had started a long time ago, but CO Buildings is so far behind, it's hard to get. And I think that's a true statement.
It is, it's true.
And so therefore, there's some flexibility on that, on the answer to your question, based on how rapid they can get the, because most of them are putting up a steel building.
That's what I was just concerned about, some of the dates here, you know, like the start dates, it's like 59.
Yeah.
That's the long
all start three of those, date. All three of those have said they would have started before now. And of course, however, Wright's ready to go and the building's coming in. I saw an email come in today from Diocor, and they finally got their building. And so the one that's lagging behind right now is Watts. Okay, what this is kind of a little update on the industrial, on the project in the with the arena. This is that $300,000 project. By the way, you all know about Jack. I talked to him about an hour ago again. He's received 47 phone calls and emails from people who use the arena, which I think is a real testimony to how he works with people down there. We've got 47 calls asking if he can help, and I've been talking, of course, to Dave and Lou, we made sure that if Todd Tree is down there, most of the time he's using his own equipment, but if he is, he would come under Wasatch's workman's comp, and they're partners of ours by a long-term lease. And then, of course, I think you guys know, is it, what's his name, Garrett?
John Hardy.
Yeah. And I think, is he on the payroll, so if he rides equipment, he's under work? Now, it's kind of fortuitous for Jack, because at one time, you recall, he was very happy about being a 1099 employee and putting the money through White Peak Ranch. One of the things he said to me at that time, and one of the downsides of this, is if you're a 1099 rather than a city employee, and you get hurt, you have your own insurance. So it's good that he was on the payroll, because, like you say, he was moving some belt hay, sitting down for the cows that they're gonna use for the roping, and he slipped. The good news is, he's doing really well. He's taking, I asked him, he's taking oxycodone for the pain, he's taking something different, but he's got total use of no paralysis of any kind, and he's getting really well. Okay, what this is then, is this, of course, is a summary for you, once again, on the $300,000 project. This is the, for the restrooms, showers, stalls, and other stuff at the equestrian center. Now, you'll notice I've handwritten in that we've asked, all this money has been made available, and is willing, and Oxford and I keep in constant touch to see what the deadlines are to spend it. But you have the $50,000 from the Heritage area has been in the account for a long time to be spent. The $150,000 from the outdoor rec is in there. Now, here you go, sir.
I did have an extra one.
We did have a little bit. We gotta come up with some more money. I think I can find some. You'll see where the, I have it written in here that we've asked State Parks for the trails part of the project, which the backcountry Riders of America are doing 8,000 in kind, 9,000 in kind in labor. Is it 8? It's 8,000 in kind in labor. But they've already, and I talked to Oxford how we're gonna do this, they're getting ready to get materials, and so what they're doing, we have on the account the RDA has at the Horseshoe Mountain, the invoices will say, and clear it through us first, and I check with Oxford, then it will say on there, it will say, CDRA/trail equestrian center, EQ. And so we're following that. We have up to $30,000 to do on the trails part. And I think we've got a good source. It's highly likely, I'd say it's 90% probability, we're gonna also get $150,000 from the George S. and Morris Dorn Eccles Foundation. And that would bring the total project down to up to $450,000. So that's what we're looking to do.
On that, the plumber is doing the plumbing right now.
Yeah, I'll go ahead.
Getting that all done, and then as soon as he's done, we'll get it leveled, filled for, and prep it for concrete, the floor of it, so. Should have that done by the end of next week.
Unless you get it snowed out the rest of the week.
Unless we get snowed out.
So is it a block building or is it concrete building? Who's framing it?
I'm not sure.
The concrete, is he a local guy?
He's from here.
What's his name?
Perry, Chris Perry.
Chris Perry.
Okay, now.
I think it's Chris.
Paul's been working, like I say, pretty close to getting.
In kind.
In addition to getting the 1 acre back lot to Kendall to take care of Vern, who was first on the list, we're pretty close to getting a lot back for the males. They're here tonight. And then Paul's got a report on some things he's working on. I really appreciate the fact he stepped forward. With the Mormon Pioneer National Heritage Area, we do a lot of stuff with filming and documentaries, and also we're doing a lot of stuff in this ministry program. So Paul's been kind enough to step in, helping out on the industrial part. So it's all yours, Paul.
A company, we talked about this last time, the company that's coming in, it's got a machine shop. I got on their website and checked them out, and it is high-tech stuff they do. They do prosthetics and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, they want to they want to buy that lot number one on phase five. That's the one clear to the end on the east side with the little airplane turnaround. There's 5.51 acres, and as soon as we could approve that, they'll buy it, and they want to get going on it just as quick as they can. There's something to do with a tax issue.
Well, that's one that probably,
1035.
The guy that controls the most information that happens to be here is Mike Bowles, because he's tied together with his proposal. They had a 1031 issue where they had to they rolled some things over. Go ahead and report on that, Michael.
Well, that's exactly it. They sold the building they're currently in up north, and now they're in a 1031 exchange scenario, so they got now rolled the money over before the tax consequences.
Yeah, and they said around the 1st of April we have to have, if we can get...
Engaged in something, yes.
Yeah.
So is there sewer to that lot?
No, and they know that, they'd have to put a septic tank in. There's no way to put sewer in unless you put a pump station.
What lot number did you say it was?
Number one, phase five.
Yeah, you might find out, this is Joe Kendall.
So both have the same problem on the other two lots on the other side of this?
Yep.
Yep.
This is the amended plat. This is the last of the phase fives. When we first started in 1998, we had five phases, and this is the last lot that's left available to sell.
Yeah.
In terms of the Mylars that we filed, the five Mylars that have been filed with the county, and he's got the names here of the people who own these lots in phase five.
Well, that's going to take some fill out there, isn't it?
Well, actually, no, not really, because they'd probably put their building right on so they can access, use that asphalt that's already there.
I know it sits low from the highway, 89.
Well, yeah, but there's not much room up on top of there. Okay.
So is there water up on that?
There's water there, and there's power up there, yeah. Gas, they would... If the gas company will do it, they'll have to cross the road, probably right there where the asphalt ends, to put a gas service over there. Other than that, they've got everything, three-phase power, they've got everything they need right there, except the sewer.
We need to get at least a utility easement along the runway.
I thought we already had one.
I don't know if there's one here.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I know when I've been talking to them on the well, that's part of the way they're looking at bringing the well back to the city, so I'd like to at least keep a utility.
We actually have a 10-foot piece that's in the asphalt now, but edge of the road is in about 10 feet from where the pavement is. So we narrowed that road up when we done away at the airport, because we didn't need that wide of a road. So we narrowed it up, 3 years ago? So when we chipped it, we didn't chip the whole width of it. Yeah. So actually...
That's one concern I would have, to make sure we just had that easement in there to...
To bring that irrigation line.
Well, even if we extend this out, if we need to tie in out there to loop something.
Oh, yeah.
Is the gas on the west side out to the last lot on the west side out there?
Yep. It's actually out about right here, right about where the asphalt is.
So all they'd have to do is just go across the end of the asphalt there, the gas. Are they going to absorb them cost, or... Was that something?
Oh, yeah, they would have to pay for a hookup with the gas company. And they would install the septic system. And Shane's already found it.
Coulter, is that legal with them being within 300 feet of a sewer line?
No, they need to hook into the sewer if they're within 300 feet.
Even if it takes a pump, they'd still have to hook in, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Well,
because that's a city ordinance. That's the
other
thing. So.
But it's more than 300 feet. That sewer crosses about right up here.
Yeah, And if they're outside of 300 feet, they would be fine to do a septic, but if they're in that 300 feet, then they would have to put a pump in. Because that's what we require.
And if we did have to, if we did require them to put a pump, city'd probably have to put it because we're the developer.
Well, depending on that, here, maybe a little more.
Because we've supplied it to everybody else.
Yeah, out there. But it, basically, they take it over though after we do that, just like any other person, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The pump ain't that expensive. They're not real pricey.
No.
This lot number three, it, depending where they put a building, they could probably catch the sewer where it comes down across here.
Oh, they probably have the bathroom on it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I imagine, yeah. But this lot, it'd be the same problem, you know. This ground falls to the south, and it's a lot more than it looks. So where this is already in the, a developed area, phase five, we wouldn't have to go to a special meeting or a special, public hearing or anything because it's in that phase five development. Just like everything else we sold here.
Do we need a motion on that tonight?
If we could. I think it would be great if we could.
I don't think we can because that's not on the agenda.
Well, do we need to vote that?
Does that need to? I don't think we need a motion. I think all we need is my signature on it when we get the deed drawn up.
Yeah, if the vote, because we need to agree on it, is on it enough that necessarily a motion is that if you have the consensus that they accept your proposal, you sell that lot to them.
Yeah. That's what my proposal is, we sell that lot to Shane Cottrell is his name. And I can't remember their business name, I'd have to find that. Pardon?
Is his wife named Kim?
Yeah, do you know their business name?
I don't know the business name.
I don't have an issue with it, as long as it's
under the picture of easements there.
And then just finding out the sewer one way or the other. And that to me is a big issue, I don't think one way or the other. I mean, if they're not in the 300 feet, then they're just having to accept it. If they are, they'll have to just do the pump.
And I
don't see that being a big issue.
I'm positive it's more than 300 feet.
So.
We'd have to get in there that they're responsible for the gas and.
Well, I guess it's an easement, utility easement.
Just have them do a contract, however they do them.
Yeah, and that can be written up in the contract. And once it's written up, and then we'll get it to Mike and have him sign it and get him to pay it. And they say there's going to be jobs available, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, that'd be good. So what did lots sell for in that place?
13,000 an acre.
Paul, we discuss that with him. You'll report that to the board on what the proposal was. He do all the work, connection fees, impact fees, and all that.
I think you discussed
with him how much per acre.
Yeah, and just like the rest of the acreage in that phase five was 13,000.
Yeah, this is the last lot in phase five. We sold the lot for 13,000 an acre, provided they could show how many jobs they were going to create. And once again, that they'd have a business presence. And I hope now that these latest ones know they're on a fast track. We don't get, in a sense, when the economy was bad, it's difficult when they don't meet that requirement. They have to go through the on this rigmarole to get the lot back to resell it.
Well, yeah, we'll do the, just like we have all others, we'll have the stipulation in there, they have to have a business.
Well, did they tell you that they're ready to?
They're ready.
They're ready to build right now.
They're ready as soon as we can get the paperwork done.
I
I think we need to have them, I think they need to submit some type of an application, like Kevin was suggesting we do last time, because that's why I put that on the agenda as the next one, is just, there needs to be some type of an application or paper trail or something, you know? What jobs they're gonna create, how many? I mean, we don't even know official names of who we're selling it to.
Situation with the beneficiary of all the EDA grants, and they should do exactly, I agree 100% with that. They need to do the same thing we did here. They need to be able to say, I was under the impression they told you that they were going to, well, you told me they were gonna spend maybe $500,000 on the building. I asked Mike Bowles, who was kind of engineering this, number of jobs he created, what was it, 57 jobs with your company?
We got 62.
62? I've been told these people have 25 plus jobs, but to get it on paper is really a good idea. I think we need to do that.
I think we need some type of application or something that way. Yeah. That's...
Yeah. Well, take on the application, even if they submitted...
We have.
Just like a resume, you say this is what the people we plan to do with this.
I think that's a good idea, and the priority would be, in the case of this company, and that's one of the reasons we're trying to accommodate Mike Bowles on that buffer zone, that when that buffer zone, you got a survey finding there. And I want to report on that, because what happened was that we never planned to develop that. That buffer zone is not in any phase. It's not on any minor at all. But the reason we never planned on developing it, it was when Mike Bowles came forward, and so you might want to take a few minutes and tell him what the legal description of that is.
Okay.
Because we asked him how many jobs he had, he retained and created, because the idea there, he had moved that stuff off Blackhawk, right? He also had a proposal.
I think the idea, though, that the attorney was suggesting is that it be in writing before you make any decisions,
yeah,
so that nobody can come back and say, well, you gave it to them when I had this idea, and, you know, I think you should have it in writing. That's paper trail.
Another problem with that. Paul, you met with him 3 times. Hopefully, you have a problem with him coming out of form. You?
Absolutely not. This is a very time sensitive.
Yeah, if we could get a form to him, you know, just within a couple of days, I mean, this isn't...
Yeah, I got a form we used on these, I just showed you. What it says is, how big a building you're going to be, let me show you.
Because part of that, too, is, again, it's like, can we split that 5 acres into 2 lots and make 2 businesses instead of just 1, you know?
Yeah, that would be a hard one, because of the ditch that runs across... down on the end of it.
Paul, I'll just give you this. Same thing we did. Project description, how many square feet it's going to be, total project cost, and it would be a grant amount. Then it would say it would be start date and finish date, and then they could run on there. We'll still have that covenant in there, 1 year and 2 years. But I think it's a good idea to do that, because we've had it before in the minutes, but we've never had it on a form like we have here.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. What type of business and, yeah, you know, type deal too, you know.
And so that you've been working on this for a couple, 3 weeks, what would go on the form would be the nature of the business, how many employees, and that $500,000 figure they said they're going to invest. I think... How much land did they see tell you they needed to have? It's pretty hard to split that lot anyway.
So did the others in phase 5, did they have to submit the same thing?
No.
What they would do, they'd come in and say, I have this kind of business, and I'm going to have so many employees, and then we would say, on 1 acre lot, we'd say, I'm going to have this many employees, I'm going to build them, and then we have the covenant that said you got to start in 1 year.
I'm not against getting paperwork and everything, but we got a viable company coming in here, and they're a viable company. They've been established up where they're at. Am I wrong or am I?
I got a heck of a difference.
Well, the thing is,
we don't want to make it any harder.
We need at least their name.
Well, we can get that. I'm not against the paperwork.
Paul, will you?
We gotta get it rolling, we gotta get it moving right now.
It seems to me like we're trying to find excuses to hold it up.
No, we just need to get all the information.
Paul, can you call for Paul, you get all the information to me tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, I can get all their information.
Because again, it's not the...
That's a problem, but...
That's the thing, nobody else will have to do this, so now all of a sudden we have to have these people do it. You didn't do it, or your boy didn't when he bought his.
I don't know.
Nobody did. That's all.
See, that's my concern, right?
We're gonna turn around and do it now to just a handful of people. Who's saying we're not gonna?
Well, I think it's a matter of what, according to the city's lawyer, who's our attorney, recommends doing that. This is a starting point, it's not...
I don't think it's a problem, because...
No, it's not a problem.
I just don't want it to drop down.
It's the last lot in Phase 5, and we've gone through all this, we could...
I mean, if you get that paper to them tomorrow, I don't think it's a big issue to have them turn it back in.
You got it, we'll have it tomorrow.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think it's a matter of trying to hold them up. I think it's a matter of just trying to do whatever...
And when I talked about the three lots we gave grants to, you got your format there. Project description, number of jobs, we'll have that tomorrow, fair enough?
Because in reality, we want to prevent possible lawsuits. I mean, you don't want to, I mean, we can't change what happened in the past, obviously, but we can create...
On the other side of that, we don't want to create any lawsuits.
No.
Right now, because they didn't have to go through the same thing.
No, I get it, it's kind of a double-edged sword in both, in ways, because then the same thing is if these people just get this property without having to fill out something, then somebody, just like you say, somebody else comes all of a sudden...
I think the paperwork and everything is a good...
I think everybody's on the same...
It was more than fault, but in the past, people would come in and say, this is the name of the business, this is how big of a building we're gonna build, and this is how many jobs. A lot of these are only giving you three or four jobs. But some of them, like Far West Construction, were creating a lot of jobs. But some of these, we sold about 60 lots, and most of them came in and said, I'm gonna build a 10,000, 15,000 square foot building, like Travis, for example, and I'm gonna create three jobs. We had to have that information when we got the grants from EDA. We had to show who the beneficiaries were. We got all that stuff. We have, so you know, we have asked people this before. We had to submit it to EDA, okay?
So we have that in the past with other people.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a good idea, we'll get that paperwork done.
Well, that's all I want, I mean, we get some viable businesses coming in here, we ought to do everything we can to accommodate them, and not frustrate them.
We'll process it fast.
Okay.
It's almost so...
Mike?
Is it appropriate for me to make a comment?
Sure.
Would it, is there any validity to continue to communicate to them tomorrow? We had the meeting, and yes, you got green light. We're gonna sell it for this, and this is what we need from you. Rather than the approach being, well, we need this first, it's all, the psychology of it, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So why not just say, hey...
Exactly.
Yes, we're gonna sell this to you, now this is what we need from you.
Right.
And it's information we've got from the other people too.
Yeah.
I guess that's where I am, the psychology of it. If I'm a businessman, and I'm trying to bring my business down here, and I wouldn't be surprised if Ephraim's that's probably an option for them.
That is our plan B, that for whatever reason, and I haven't talked in detail to Kim, but they want to be here.
They're building a new home east of Spring City, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, we're building that.
They're coming in. I agree with the paperwork and everything, the psychological part of this, they're jacking me around.
If we get the information for you tomorrow on the corporate name, it's like this form I showed you here, project description, how many people they plan to employ, and what they're gonna invest on the property, they'll have that bought to you. Can we get it by noon tomorrow, Paul?
Probably, I gotta work in the morning, yeah, probably.
Can you check the easement out, so that's not an issue?
We could just write that in.
Yeah, we just write that in.
We can write that in the property, just, that's one thing that they need to know, that there's gotta be an easement through there for...
See, that's what I'm saying, see, we worked it all out, I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it on paper and get done with it, instead of having this...
That's what we need. One other thing, just to put in your minds, that property out there that we've set aside for their outdoor arena, just looking at it, and the interest we have in businesses moving down here, I would like to take that property and develop it into more commercial development and try to see if we could buy right across the road, just east of the substation out there, see if we could purchase that piece for the outdoor arena. It would, to me, it would better satisfy, it's a better piece of property than what that other one is, but this other one, it's ideal for more business. If we could just look into that a little bit and...
See, double deal.
Put it in your mind, think about it for a little while, you know. I know we love...
Has anybody took the time to even lay it out down there, what a rodeo arena would look like on that piece of ground?
The one that I'm talking about, the one we've, I've looked at it, it's plenty big. It's plenty big.
I can ask you a question.
Even if...
The best way to describe it was set aside in case you have to sell the property where the outdoor arena is.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was 5 acres?
One of the interesting, how somebody even, where the arena, would an outdoor arena even fit on a piece of property?
Yeah.
That was...
This one.
Kevin Stallings had that aside, they determined that would be the amount of land they need, but to answer your question, the plan, no scope of work or no layout as it was ever done.
Right.
Based upon Kevin's opinion, that's how much land you would need to accommodate the outdoor arena, because he was involved in doing that.
This piece I'm talking about is just like right over here, the substation's right here. It doesn't look like they irrigate it right now.
They don't.
He knows the property owner. He died and their kids have got it, so...
Is that where it's got easement for the water line through? Is that close to that property, or...
No, it's the next one up.
No, that's the next one up, yeah. Pardon?
That's where the plant power shop is going.
We told them to purchase the property, right?
To the south.
East.
You just got pretty involved.
Haven't you talked to him once or twice?
It's still going through the family process, because the owner passed away.
But there's...
I don't know whether they want to sell or what they want to sell. Yeah, we definitely want it. We got to do something, we're just crammed up here, like...
No.
And I talked to the property owner that owns those, Ellis Lundville lot. As you come into the, off Highway 89.
Some, I think.
Yeah, it's lot 19 and 21, that, there's buildings right in the middle, but he owns all three of those lots, and I asked him, his last name's Mattson, I thought it was my nephew, but it wasn't. But anyway, he wasn't willing to sell it back to the city, and I said, well, you know, there's a stipulation, and he said, well, maybe this phone call will give us some incentive to get going on it, so... I might follow up on the phone call.
We got out there where these stipulations were putting on this one coming in.
What's that?
I said, how many lots do we have out there where they was under this agreement that they was supposed to have a viable business?
Every single lot.
About 14.
We had to give, when we got the grants to do the infrastructure, we had set beneficiaries, although all of them came through, but they did have to come in, and they did come in and meet, we just didn't do a formal form. They come in and say, here's what I'm going to build, here's how many jobs. Everybody had to do that, including trucks.
Yeah, but how many of them went through with it? How many do we have out there productive businesses?
How many lots are out there that they're absolutely doing nothing with? That's what he's saying.
Yeah, we identified 20 lots that we need to do something on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, now we got a business that wants to come in here. We should do everything we can to accommodate these.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with the paperwork. I agree 100%.
And I hope we're all committed to the fact that we're not going to send threatening letters. And if people can't come up with a viable plan, we need to take the lots back and resell them. We got two people waiting right now that are building this. We got to honor that commitment. But to answer your question, I thought we could resolve this. We've agreed to sell a lot. And now I'm going to give the stuff to you at noon, right?
That's right. Awesome.
Well, just make sure they know that we got to add that easement, but that shouldn't affect anything because it's...
Right, and yeah, I'm sure they're fine with that.
It's just parking anyway off the street, they can't build on it anyway.
Mail on it.
So I'm not 100% following what you're talking about. I follow that you have a business that's wanting the, on the south end of the last development, they want to purchase that 5 or so acres. I've also heard people wanting that 100-foot strip on the east side of the runway. And some concerns that I have, I've been following this for over a year now and been actively trying to obtain a lot, is how is this being distributed equitably? You know, if, just because one company comes in and they say they have 50 jobs, are they really going to produce 50 jobs? I'm sure Red Polkadot Box said that they were going to produce 100 jobs, build this massive building. How are they being held accountable for that? And you have other people that may be trying to get properties, not necessarily a giant corporation, but are sustainable. Mount Pleasant's not a metropolis. We don't have giant corporations, but we have mom and pops that are trying to carve out a living. And, you know, something that I'm looking for a property, maybe I don't produce, supply 20 jobs, but how is it being graded where this person that has 50 jobs versus me that could maybe produce 5 jobs, how is that being fairly handled? Because as I've seen it, I don't know the order that things have been happening, but I haven't seen from all my research a equitable way that says that person A is being put first on the line versus person B. I mean,
you're not doing first come, first serve. You know, there's no standard for, there's city lots out there, those two lots like Elliot, that was developed over 20 years ago. You know, Mason's been talking to Lonnie for over a year now. You know, you ought to have a systematic way, first come, first serve. You shouldn't prioritize, well, this guy talked the right person or that. It sounds like Vern's been working on it for 15 years, trying to get you guys to do something. And I, Lonnie can tell you, I was trying to get a lot out there, like in 05, 06, and had trouble, you know, meeting requirements and stuff. But there's been no consistency with the city applying rules. So like this lot, this guy came, Mason's already been talking. It's like, well, yeah, let's sell him the lot. You know, there's no answer. There's 4 or 5 lots out there that's still in the city's name. Can't get an answer on how you buy those. So how are you approving this guy to sell him the lot when Mason's been in well before this guy or well before that other, you know, 5-acre strip? What are you doing there?
Well, the votes in the city's name are people who brought the court of their deeds. You want to talk about that.
I know, but I think they're talking about the 5-acre lot right now.
Well, any lot. There's no consistency.
Yeah. It is accurate. It is accurate that Mason was ahead of Coffles, no doubt about it. But when I got the feedback, after, I think you talked to Mason when you were down talking to, we're trying to get those 2 lots back. And to call on that and said, well, Mason probably doesn't need 5 acres. I said, we got to hurry up and find him if he got at least 2 acres. Because he is rightfully entitled to move forward on this. But I think there were some other circumstances you developed after you talked to Mason. You might, I don't know.
And that's one of the reasons I'd like to see us develop that property that we set aside for the outdoor arena, because there's a need. There's a need for more lots out there.
Well, it also goes back to the people that ain't doing anything on those lots either. The city hasn't done anything to take those lots back.
Right.
And it goes back to what the attorney was telling you guys last week about the major
applications.
And the paper trail that you're kind of, why are we doing this? Because that's the only way you're going to have an equitable way. If Mason comes in and gives you an application, and you've already got his application, you can see what he wants to do. When you have another one come in and they submit an application, then you can look at them and determine which one's the more equitable one. You can't just go and say, well, 5 acres isn't going to do, but you don't even have an application for him. How do you know he doesn't need 5 acres? That's what I'm hearing. And that's why the attorney was saying you need to have this application process that people are going through. because you've got to have a way that is more equitable for everybody that wants a lot out there. And I'm not saying that we don't go with the cost of everything. I'm just saying you've got to find a way to make this more even, because Mason's not the only one, Bird's not the only one, there's Garrett Crosby, I know of a Sway gentleman that's been in repeatedly that he wanted a place for his stuff. There are multiple people that have been passed over because there has not been turned in any applications. So when there's something open, you don't know who's still wanting a lot. And if you've got those applications, you've got a way to say, oh, we've got these people that have been looking, let's reach out to them before we take someone else.
And I agree. I think it needs to be. Because, you know, prior to all of us, I mean, it's just been kind of how it's been, but I agree, I'm saying there's got to be a way that there's a better way to do it.
Well, what's your take on that? Because you talked to Mason the other day, and I said at the outset, he's next on the issue right now is we've been too lenient in not taking lots back. We got plenty of lots out there. They're not being developed. And we need to, just like we did with Kendall's, we need to go to, and Mike and I talk to people, we need to get them back. Right now, I know of only two people that were on the waiting list, and that was Vern and Mason. They were number one and two.
This,
it is true.
Garrett.
It is true.
Garrett.
Who?
Garrett.
Garrett. That's Garrett's number. Mason and Garrett.
No.
But now, but Paul, I was under the impression that when you were down there that day, it felt like that we could, that this company would be more, it would line more for that lot, and we'd find another one for Mason. That was my
I point that out to Mason clear enough, but trying like heck to get something going for you. Lot number two, you're really interested in that one, but that one's, Alan Kendall has that, and he says he's going to start real soon.
See, so that's, how many people are going to say, oh, I'm going to start real soon?
Yeah.
As soon as they realize,
so,
hey, I'm going to lose my property.
Well, I think what we need to do is, right now, is set a deadline. And if they haven't physically started doing something on that lot,
yeah,
we need to get them back.
I agree. Unfortunately, agree.
They've had plenty of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that was Elliott Lund lot. That first phase was done 20-something years.
Yeah. Ago. Yeah.
I talked
to that guy.
That's an interesting case, because what happened? They bought three lots and put a building in the middle. Then what happened? Doug Hyde and those guys didn't develop it. Right now, I feel we ought to immediately take back those two lots, and that would be a perfect place for Mason. Well, I think we ought to take those back immediately.
Well,
I think county would have tried to do that. And you told me we're going to buy it back.
That guy, he says, well, maybe this is a wake-up call for us to get something going. That's what he said.
There's not one person down there who hasn't been called at least half a dozen times over the last year, saying, when are you going to go see Dave Oxman and get the package? So, well, I'm going to do it right away, but I don't have any money. The problem is that we made the mistake. We were too lenient on taking them back. But like Mike said, I appreciate what you're doing, case by case, but no more delays. If they're not ready to start, like I told Mason this, if they're not ready to start in the next 3 weeks, we buy the property back and sell it immediately.
What would be a good time frame? If we wrote a letter and give to these people, say, 2 months, if there's not,
obviously, you need to go past Kevin and see what the time for what legally the time frame needs to be.
I mean, in 30 days, you ought to be able to know if you're going to do something.
Yeah.
And you better believe it'll have paperwork done.
It's been two and three years.
In reality, 30 days, in my opinion, is plenty of time to, if you're going to do something, you're going to either step up and do it or you're not.
We'll
it can take you longer than that, Louis, on loans.
Well,
it can take you longer than that right now to get a still building price.
Yeah, but then they show us the process.
It's a mess.
I mean, if they ain't come in saying, hey, we've already applied for this loan, we're waiting on it now, and they ain't communicating with us, then they...
I tell you, Mason pointed this up. The problem down there, if you look at where the issues are, it's not the bigger companies that have developed the lot, it's the smaller lots that we've sold the local people that have come in and said, oh, I haven't got the money right now, can I buy a little bit more time? And we've been too lenient on that. And so, like Mike, I still believe Mike
Joe's point of mind is correct. We don't send out a threatening letter. We just start going out there and saying, look, if we haven't heard from you in 3 weeks, come by and we're going to cut you a check. What I mean by heard by you is you have to have a plan that shows that you've got the building order, you're on a waiting list to see your building or something like that. Because we have been too lenient getting along with that, no doubt about it.
The thing that I've done in my research is there's not one person in the entire industrial park. The latest phase is over 2 years old. Your deed states, in the deed, it stated that you have to have a building established. Therefore, to me, when I'm reading that, to me, it's fair that they should have already had those buildings established. Now, I understand there's all these ifs, ands, and parameters that they're dealing with, but why can't the city hold all those deeds, take them all back, establish an equitable way, make it publicly known that, hey, these lots are going to be distributed in this equitable way, and then roll it forward. There's all this hustle and bustle that we need to get it done now. I've been looking for them. Other people are looking for them. There's over 20 lots, I've heard, that are available, and there's lots that they're trying to, you know, this person wants 5 acres. Well, why does that person deserve the 5 acres over other person, another one? And say they already have acreage out there, why, how is it fair that they necessarily get more when other people don't have any? Some issues that have frustrated me as I've been looking into.
Hey, Paul, haven't you been saying, I've told people that they have 3 weeks to either come in with a plan that they're going to build, and they've got the building in place, or we're going to buy the property back. Now, you talk to people, they said they're going to comply with that, or they said...
I didn't give them a time frame. I just talked to them and asked them.
When you talk to them, did they say why they haven't started constructing?
No, not really. None of them. They just said that, you know, this visit, maybe it's a good time for me to start doing something. So I haven't been snotty with them or anything, you know, but maybe it's time to just come right down to it and say, hey, we're going to buy this back.
I say we take it back.
I do too.
Don't have building plans by now. They make this lot. We talked to one guy out there that was building the building, just finishing that green building along the runway. It's like, well, yeah, I don't have a business in here yet, but I'll find something to put in here because this is going to be worth some money someday.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's what
I think most of the people that have a lot out there, they're selling them. Lot for how much?
Yeah.
Shit, you out, buy it.
Well, the thing is, he's right. Yeah. The covenant said a building present in a year and a full-fledged building. And Mason's right. We've been too lenient because we know a lot of these people. We've got to take them back and sell to people that can start building.
And then we need a process of how we're going to distribute them, like you said,
right,
an application fee or something going forward. We really do. We need a process of...
Mm-hmm.
of a waiting list or even a list, because I'm not aware of a list anywhere.
No, I'm not either.
You know, so the owners that's interested comes in, at least puts their name on the list, and then when something comes available, we can at least contact those owners to say, you know, you're still interested.
We had a check off. When we get the beneficiary of the DEA, we had to have a potential buyer, the members of the tent. When they fell by the wayside, we have this, we call people. The time would go by, they've been other plans. So right now, the only two people that we have are Garrett and Mason that are on that we've talked to.
Well, there's Vern, too.
Haven't made other plans.
We've got Vern.
You got Vern taking care of
it. The issue isn't, we, some of those people could have bought. The issue is, I keep repeating it, we're too lenient in not buying the properties back after it is sold.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We beat that to death.
So we need to give them a time frame. Or do we just go right for repossessing the lots?
I think we need to go on them individually and contact them and talk to them.
Hey,
and that ought to give us a better feel.
I don't really mean it personal, but you're a good example. Travis came in, he gave us a plan, he showed how many jobs, he had 3 jobs, but there were extenuating circumstances. Now then it went through a death. Now, right now, if you don't mind, example, I haven't talked to you about this. So when would you be able to realistically, would that be a case study? What would be realistic timeframe for you to be able to put a building on the Olson lot?
As soon as we can get a building, because Tyler's already got a permit on it.
But then, I thought three other people would not say that the only reason they have done it in the past, the economy's picked up and they can now afford to do it.
Well, they got to be able to provide some activity.
Do you think 3 weeks is enough time for?
I like Sam's idea, 30 days, but they need to be able to show.
30 days.
Legitimate activity. A process.
And hand a plan.
They should have building plans if they've owned the lot for 2 months.
Like, this building, I want. Our conversation, we can say, you can talk to us about this, we'll do a little form, this is okay. We talked to you about taking this back, we did tell you 3 weeks. You've got 30 days, if I hear you correctly, to come in with the description, if you got the building order, and when you plan on breaking ground.
Well, don't they have, is there any fees or anything they have to pay as well, or any kind of like permits or anything, all that they would have to have as well? I mean, if they haven't started all that in that 30 days, obviously they're not going to do anything.
Right.
In my opinion. I mean, if you ain't done anything, as far as even paying out money to show you're interested in the permit process, to put the permit.
You have to get your loan probably first, though.
On it. I mean, I don't know, I'm just comparing to, I've not ever dealt with, so I don't know the process versus like a building permit for residential, but.
Well, when they go get the package from Dave to get the building, that's when they're told about the impact fees.
Sometimes banks are particular on what you pay ahead of them getting the loan, because they want to be the first lien holder on it, so sometimes you have to have that loan tied up before you can pay anything.
Right.
That's the touchy part with that.
But in 30 days, you know if you have a loan or not. I guarantee you know if you have a loan or not in 30 days.
Business loans are a lot tougher.
I mean, they might be a little tougher, but.
A lot tougher.
But if they've shown they've applied, and they're showing they've got something versus just taking somebody's word and saying, you know, I've done this and I've done that.
We give them 30 days. If they haven't done absolutely nothing in 30 days, you know they're not going to do anything.
Correct.
So.
Agreed.
I mean, that's, I think 30 days is probably better.
We got three that we probably take back within the next few weeks, maybe a couple of days. People said, well, to be honest with you, 3 weeks is much time, but to be honest with you, I just don't know if I'm going to be able to come up with enough money right now to do it, and I'm going to give, just like with the candidates, okay?
Okay. Anything else?
Hopefully I'll come in late, not sure.
So we're going to make the motion to adjourn?
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
All right, motion by Russ and second by Sam to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
That's what Regent said.